said, could I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield and Joe Shiesty too.
Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Omar Kelly, Miami Dolphins columnist, as we're in OTAs in the new facility. Not new, it's a few years old, but it's nice over there. Get to learn your new system a little bit. Most of the guys are there, great food. And everything's going really well. Guys are throwing the football a little bit out there for their little practices. And then we have this pop up. Why, Omar? Why rank quarterbacks? Why throw into it just for the heck of it?
You mean why not throw into it just for the heck of it?
Yes, yes. Why not put him in there? Yes.
One, you know, Tyreek likes attention. Let's start the conversation. Is Tua a top five quarterback?
No, but that's for you and I to say.
Okay. It doesn't matter if it's for you and I to say. He's not a top five quarterback. So nobody should be offended that nobody in the world puts him in the list of the top five quarterbacks.
The guy that throws him the ball every day probably knows he's not a top five quarterback. I started the show the last couple of days with that, but it probably doesn't need to come out of your number one receiver's mouth.
Okay.
I think so. You don't seem to think it's a big deal, right?
I don't care. I'm so annoyed by Tyreek and his attention seeking behavior that it's like when you have a toddler that cries and whines, and I got one of those. They're going through some ridiculous phase where they just cry and whine at four, and you just pay it no mind. You ignore it, and that's what I do with Tyreek. Tyreek, and he, you know this. There are two things you should know about Tyreek. One, he's a troll. And he describes himself as a troll on his social media account.
I brought that up today. Somebody told me at camp yesterday that he's just trolling people, that nobody's paying attention to it.
Yes. And two, he's an attention hawk. When you're not talking about him, thinking about him, mentioning him, he's in his feelings. So he's going to do something that says, hey, look at me. We all know that kid in school where they make these, hey, look at me behaviors. And I remember Jason Cole, who was really my first mentor when I started in this business. He taught me how to work a beat. I always asked him, why are receivers the way that they are? And he put it to me brilliantly, and only a way that I could describe it to people to help them understand. Receivers are different than every other position in sports, in all of sports, because you know what their job is? A running back gets the ball 20 times, maybe 15 if he's like a splits the backfield with somebody else. But a receiver, you know what his job is to do?
Catch
his job
football.
Is to get open.
Yeah.
And he needs everything to work for him, and he also needs the quarterback's attention. So he spends all of his day, all of his life going, look at me, look at me, I'm open, look at me, look at me. Hey, did you see me on that route? Hey, 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 I'm open. This guy can't cover me. Look at me. Hey, Dan, it's me. I know you done threw the ball to Clayton about five times, but hey, I've only got three receptions. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And they've been doing this since they were like seven.
No, that's been going on. Woody asked me that question today, and I agree with you. By the way, he goes, oh, who's the original? I go, oh, no, it goes way back before T.O. T.O. would like to get credit for it, but no, this thing. And by the way, I'll give you another one. Their job is to catch a lot of footballs for a lot of yards and touchdowns, because you're probably winning games, so you want guys that are hungry that want the football. So I get both sides of it, yes.
They need opportunity, but they also need your attention. They need you to say, think about how many times you've seen a receiver tell Dan or another quarterback, hey, man, I was open on that play. How many times do you think a receiver has said that in his life?
Oh, no, he's had a whole bunch of them.
He has had
a whole bunch of them throw that, and now he's great. He was great with handling it, by the way, because you know he had always had. By the way, his relationship with Clayton and Duper was fantastic. Like to this day, I give him a lot of credit for those guys, the way they all work together and their friendship to this day. Now that they're all in their 60s, But I do understand. But you're right, man. He is exhausting, though, because he's a top. He knows, right, when he puts stuff out there that it's going to become a huge story. And people are, I see people writing, oh, this is his way of trying to get out of town again.
One, he knows he's not getting out of town until next year. He's a prisoner here. Prisoner to the money. So you want the money, you accept where you are. And that's the reality. Tyreek is probably not going to be here next year. He's got like $40 million he's owed. There's no way they're going to pay him that unless he puts up 1,700 yards again, which, you know, should be his
you're
goal.
Right. By the way, you're right about that. There's no way they're paying him $40 million next year. You're right.
Yeah, no. He's got to put up – now, if he puts up 1,700 yards, I think we reconsider it. You know, we figure it out a way, Joe. You know, and if he's putting up 1,700 yards, we're probably winning like 10, 11, 12 games. Maybe not 12, but 11 games. But the behavior, you know what it is. And I think the best strategy is just ignore Tyreek. Tyreek's got so much drama going on in his life, he doesn't need any more attention.
So, I agree. By the way, nicely put. But everything you said about him, I totally agree. Because people are telling me, I don't follow social media, but everybody said he's very active on social media, and he likes to stay in the ball game with everything. Yeah.
Today's era of athletes, if you're not active on social media, you're losing money. So Tyreek is one of the first that we're starting to Twitch and game. He's got his own gaming company where he's sponsoring gamers and for streaming. So Tyreek is ahead of the game from that standpoint. And anybody who criticizes him for what he's doing from that end, you're just not seeing the bigger picture from a business standpoint. There are kids out there that are streaming and doing video games and making millions of dollars a year.
I don't think anybody has a problem with that. I want to know he wants to be here, and we need him. And
do we care? Do you really care that he wants to be here? Do you?
Well, if you want to be here, usually it'll play well. I don't know if I wanted to be in a marriage. It sure worked a lot better than not wanting to be in a marriage and just going through the motion. You know what I'm saying?
The motions. Okay, that's a very good point. I would think the money would be the main motivator and the main factor. But sometimes I don't really know what motivates Tyreek, because he could have easily gotten to 1,000 yards at the end of the season if he just decided to continue to play. But he'd rather let River Craycraft get some reps and opportunity and you know, steam on the sidelines. Me personally, but maybe this is my motivation, I'd have went and got my 1,000, because I'm more focused on my Hall of Fame career, and I don't want a 696-yard receiving year on my resume.
Yeah.
But Tyreek was like, screw it, I don't care. And that was really his position.
Hey,
I don't understand it, but hey, I get it. Because if I'm Tyreek, I'm thinking bigger. I'm thinking Hall of Fame. Your first ballot Hall of Famer, you never have to work another day in your life.
Yeah, I get all that stuff, and I understand. But man, he can wear your ass out, man. I'm guessing the head coach and GM are leaving it alone, like you said, right? Just pretending. If he's throwing a temper tantrum, they're just kind of walking away from it. I don't think they're saying anything over
pretty
there,
much.
Do you?
Yeah. No, pretty much. I think, you know, he's already – they're very, very, very adamant and committed that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
This isn't a Jalen Ramsey situation. Like, even if you want to go somewhere, too bad. You took the money. Now shut up and play.
Hey, you don't think there's any chance Jalen is back, Jalen Ramsey? You think he's still long gone, right?
Yeah, I think that's a head coach and Jalen situation from what I got. This isn't, you know, Mike's got to – I don't even want to say Mike's got to put his foot down, but, you know, they're not on the same program. Jalen isn't buying in, and Jalen could be the one player who poisons your culture. So you got to move. You got to move him. If you want to give yourself a chance. Unfortunately, the talent – I don't, you know, could there be a come-to-Jesus moment? Highly doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so, but, man. I was just looking at that personality, and I just didn't see any sign of that last year. I'm with you.
No.
Too
Jalen
much pride
is not
and ego, man. Like, hell no. You checked out? No. Whatever Chris said, that's it, man. Well, I like you, and I don't like you, and all that. It's like, okay.
I don't know if it's an I don't like you situation. Jalen is one of those players who is thinking about Hall of Fame, and he is thinking about his body of work, and he's not interested in playing for a team that's rebuilding, even though they won't say that they're rebuilding. That's the reality is you're rebuilding. And Jalen has no interest in being any part of that.
You don't really you're flat out just called this a rebuild. You realize that's going to get everything stirred up because
I don't care. I've been here.
I'm not talking about with the team. I'm just talking fans going, whoa, I thought we were still in it to win it. And you're going, it's
You're the way you've done business is clearly not in it to win it. And I don't disagree with you because it was like putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhaging patient. Like, you're not going to do nothing. Like, so, you know, this is a you got to change your diet. You got to wake up at 5 a.m. and start changing your behavior. You got to put the salt away. You got to make major changes, Joe.
You think Mike and that coaching staff have had meetings in this offseason and said, "Hey, man," and yep. Chris has come down and said, "Hey, guys, we're rebuilding. We got to get younger and build this thing over again." Because they haven't said that. They haven't come out and said any signs of that.
No, I think the way that they've done business is a clear indication of we effed up. We took the wrong approach. It doesn't work. We need to do an about face, change how, because this is a complete change of how you've done business all for your whole tenure. How do you do business one way for 3 years and then all of a sudden be like, you know what? I'm going to change completely everything. That doesn't work. I'm going to do something completely different.
Yeah.
And there's no other way to look at what they've done this offseason.
Wow. Well,
it's a complete about face. And you know, people ask me all the time, you know, why are the Dolphins consistently where they are, consistently average? And the argument that I make to them is, there's no continuity in the organization. And even now that you have the same GM and the same head coach, there's no continuity because you're changing how you do things and do business.
Right.
And
I agree. I agree with this part. Yeah.
Maybe that's a, you know, it's probably the right pivot, but you know, it's probably at the right time because pouring money into this situation wasn't going to fix it.
I think they poured so much money into this thing last year, especially right before the season when all the contracts and extensions. Yep. And I think somebody finally put their hand up, somebody between Brandon Shore and said, enough is enough. We're done. You make it work, and you're going to make it work on a budget. But you better make sure you tell 84, 85-year-old Stephen Ross we're still trying to win. Because I know Mr. Ross does not want to hear about a rebuild right now. And if he does, and if that's the case, then he might as well just get rid of people right now.
I don't think he is naive to the fact that he's probably going to have to make changes. If they're not already researching what they're going to do if things go left, you're making a mistake. But I say this to people, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, and it got everybody in a hornet's nest because they just don't understand why I can't give up on the season before they even begin OTAs. You know, there are about four things you could do that could get you into the 10 to 12 win territory. You could get to you can get to 2,300 rushing yards like you had in 2023. You can have these wide receivers get back to being 3,000-yard producers. They have the talent. They have the speed. You know, you just got to get them better protection. That starts with the offensive line. You can keep your quarterback healthy. You know, that would be a good start. And I know that's a lot of that is out of their control, but hey, maybe if you put together a respectable offensive line instead of one that everybody's laughing at in the NFL, maybe you give yourself a chance. I still think that there's depth issues on that offensive line. I would love for you to sign an Isaiah Wynn because right now Liam Eichenberg is your sixth man on your offensive line. So he's one injury away from being a starter. So if that doesn't scare you, then you have a problem. And Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, Chop Robinson, that trio, if they each come to 8 to 10 sacks apiece and get you back to the pass rushing team that you were in 2023 when you had 50, fourth franchise, you know, franchise setting 54 sacks, you will be a force from a defensive standpoint. Now, of course, you need cornerbacks that can cover and hold you up, but, you know, this is, it's all possible. Things gotta work your way, and you gotta get lucky from an injury standpoint. Tua's developed every year. Tua's gotten better every year. You know what you have to do. You have to keep him healthy. How about you run the ball? How about you give him more than two Mississippis to throw the ball?
Yeah.
Those are my starting points.
Wow. Well, you just flat out called it here before we got to minicamp. You just called it a rebuild, and I you're the first one, because I haven't heard anybody around there saying that. They're still saying, oh, no, we got, if we keep our front liners and we can develop a couple of these draft picks and they can make an instant impact. By the way, I'm really excited. You know, crazy of all the guys, because we keep going, I'm really excited about seeing this Jordan Phillips, the first fifth-round pick that they had, a defensive lineman, and how he fits in. You expect
Jordan Phillips?
Yeah.
No, I don't expect him to be anything special. I think he's a rotational guy. Jonah, I can't say his name properly, and nobody is saying his name
Savinea.
Properly in the market. I don't think it's that. I'm not going to try. I think he's the most valuable rookie, because if he's not good, the season's not good. I think we could get by with just about everything else going average, but he has to be good. And let's cross our fingers and pray.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the safety too, because as I've told you many times, Joe, a rookie's ended up starting at the safety spot many, many, many years. Going back to Chris Klemmon years, going back to, you know, I forget who the young players before Yetiel Green. There were some rookies Chris Klemmon started Yetiel Green. So, yeah, so I think that he's got a just as equal amount of an opportunity to start as Ashton Davis and the other guy.
Wow. So you agree with Vegas, the over-under on the 8.5 wins. Which side are you on?
Ooh, 8.5 is their number, huh?
Yeah.
If things go left and they quit on Mike, that's the major question that I have about the season, and that comes down to leadership. So, I need time to see this team. I need time to understand what makes them click. Because you know, like last year's team, it was a completely different team than 2023. Even though you had a lot of the same pieces back, you know, the feel of it was just completely different. The locker room vibe was just completely different. So, I got to feel it out before I can make any prognostications.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go there, man. You just came out and just kind of crapped right on the season with that rebuild thing. I've been kind of on this thing. So, you know, like if all the frontline guys can stay healthy, which, listen, I don't like the depth of this team. At offensive line, I'm with you. I don't like the depth or what they have in the secondary right now. It scares the hell out of me.
They don't have a starter.
But
they
still got some good skill position players on offense, though.
Yeah, but and that's one of my major questions. Who's the leader in the secondary? Is it Cater?
Oh, it's got to be Cater.
Okay, is he ready to be a leader?
Well, he got more experience than anybody. By the way, anybody back there right now on that roster. Yeah, no, that's not kind of – hasn't been Cater's thing. He's kind of looked up to the other guys, but
– yeah.
He's asking to go from a third corner to being the lead dog for the whole group. So
yeah, there's a lot of questions and mysteries, and I don't know the answers to them yet. But that's what OTAs is for.
Yeah. Hey, Omar, as always, thank you. Thanks for coming on. I didn't know you were going to bring it like this today, though. Well, you brought it. Looked like you're on that first date, and you really liked that girl because you got after it today. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I do.
Baptist Health South Florida, man. People ask me all the time about their sports injury program they have. Well, it's one of the best in the country. Where do the pros go? Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Dolphins, FIU, FAU. A lot of sporting events that come down here all use those great doctors that they put together. Not only team doctors, but the doctors that take care of every part of the body. You can't have a top sports medicine program until you get specialists and really good all-star specialists for every part of the body, and that's what they've done. Knee, anything to do with the knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles. I can go on and on, but these doctors get you back out, man, playing the sports quickly that you're competitive and you play. We do know this. If you're active and competitive, you're going to get injured. That's just a fact. Doesn't matter what age, and it sure is nice to have one of the top sports medicine programs in the country right here in South Florida ready to go for you with three great locations. And I hate leaving out all the rest of them. Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, been operated on there three times. Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility. And BaptistHealth.net/ortho is the place to go because 595 in Pine Island in Plantation, Broward, you're going to love that location as well. Check out Baptist Health South Florida.